14th episode. Mrs. Hull. Since the fatal incident with Lobo, the care robot, no stone has been left unturned in the Elfenberg Care and Retirement Center. The mutual mistrust between residents on the one hand and care staff on the other had increased drastically. Everyone felt like they were being watched and controlled. The entire nursing operation was completely out of control, and fear and uneasiness were spreading. It was an open secret that Mr. Rothenbühler was responsible for the death of his own daughter. He didn't even try to deny it, no, it even filled him with satisfaction and pride that he was now being treated with respect by all the residents and carers. There was also a hint of fear when someone entered his room. Now he was no longer simply ignored or taken for granted. No, now he was viewed with suspicion and awe. Wherever he appeared, people would steal glances at him and whisper behind closed doors. He took a thieving pleasure in other people's discomfort, and he used it mercilessly to his advantage. Mrs. Hull in particular avoided him whenever possible. That could only be right for him, the quirky old box had been getting on his nerves for a long time. Lately, Mrs. Hull had been running around like a frightened chicken, babbling incomprehensible things. Recently she had simply disappeared for an entire afternoon. They had searched everywhere for her, but she had remained as if she had disappeared from the face of the earth. And then, suddenly, after darkness had already fallen, Mrs. Hull was there again. Nobody knew where she had been in the last few hours, but when she returned she was completely out of character and was talking nonsense, as if she felt that her death was fast approaching. You couldn't make sense of the incoherent bits of words. No one suspected that what she said about underground corridors, cables, flashing lights and lifeless figures was true. The woman was picked up that afternoon by two Chinese men dressed in white for a study, as they explained. The nursing staff had no suspicions. It happened from time to time that Elfenberg residents left the building accompanied for laboratory and examination purposes. The two Chinese men linked arms with Mrs. Hull, walked along the gravel path, made sure no one was following them, and headed towards the garden shed. It wasn't the first time Ms. Hull had gone there, so she didn't put up a fight. She loved the shade arbor, the pergola and the granite benches that invited her to linger on hot summer days. One bench reminded her of something she had experienced there when she was young. However, she had never been to the house itself. Normally the door was always firmly locked with a padlock. But this time something was different. She noticed it immediately, because the door was a hand's width open and the padlock was carelessly hanging down. The two Chinese men had pushed her into the shed without saying many words to her. After Mrs. Hull adjusted to the dim light, she let her eyes wander. They were in a normal garden shed, crammed with tools and junk, except for one thing that didn't fit the picture. There was an open trap door in the middle of the room. The two men now pushed the elderly woman to this opening. Mrs. Hull knew no fear. The psychotropic medication she had been taking for many years made such feelings impossible. But when one of the Chinese pushed her too roughly, she angrily pinched his upper arm. Surprisingly, behind the trap door was a wide, well-built staircase. It was this staircase over which the monks had temporarily led Sabia's mother and grandmother, as well as a few other women, into their underground kingdom in earlier years. It was pitch black and Mrs. Hull couldn't see anything, but her curiosity got the better of her. We quickly went down step by step. A corridor bathed in pale light stretched out in front of them, with several doors to the right and left. The corridor was angled, and after several rows of doors they reached their destination, the laboratory where the examination table was located. In order to create a certain familiarity, the Chinese, with the help of Martinus and the senior sister Kathy, had moved some of the inventory from Ms. Hull's room here the previous night, the chairs and the Biedermeier sofa, the Baroque high table and the tropical wood furniture with the decorative ivory figures. Ms. Hull was met by the third Chinese man, Wu. Ambrosius Lemmer was already sitting concentrated on the control panel and prepared the creation of Mrs. Hull's avatar. She allowed herself to be undressed without resistance, as she had been used to this from the nursing staff for many years. Installation on the examination table did not cause any problems, but the laboratory technicians administered a sedative cocktail as a prophylactic measure. Ambrosius Lemmer looked at the old lady's well-groomed feet with fascination and benevolence. The nails were lovingly painted lime green. It was and remained Ambrosius Lemmer's credo: optimal oral, intimate and foot care were the central elements for a happy old age with sustainable well-being. It was one of the unique selling points of the quality of care at Elfenberg. Many other nursing and retirement homes criminally neglected the three topics for which he had developed, in cooperation with the nursing staff, precise and, above all, evidence-based standards. Then Ms. Hull was copied, rib by rib, fold by fold, into her one-to-one version. "Perfect," said Father Zeno, who had appeared out of nowhere. "A little old, but perfect." Then, with the assistance of the Chinese, Mrs. Hull dressed again and slid down from the examination table with surprising alacrity. "The difficult part is still ahead of us," said Ambrosius Lemmer with a serious expression and retreated into an adjoining meeting room with the priest. "Who's going to kill the woman now?" he asked bluntly, but already knew the answer as he finished the short sentence. "Of course you are, you're the doctor," Father Zeno grinned devilishly. This was the moment when an icy hand grabbed Ambrosius Lemmer's heart. He realized that Father Zeno was a madman, one who had no scruples. And for the first time the thought crossed his mind whether their approach, all the science and all the ambition, was ethically justifiable. Here too he knew the answer, because Ambrosius Lemmer was a fundamentally good person who had only studied medicine under pressure from his father. He would much rather have become a philosopher, lived on the Greek Mediterranean coast in a barrel that contained nothing other than a mattress, a few candles and works by David Hume, Sartre, Freud all the way back to Virgil, Ovid, and Socrates. And now he was supposed to strangle an old, dignified but defenseless woman in order to get to her soul. His mouth went dry, he saw his vision of the futuristic retirement center that fulfilled everyone's wishes in shattered pieces. Then he heard outraged screams through the closed door. "Gazel," the Chinese kept saying, "Gazel." Ambrosius thought of hostage, but Gazel means damned in Chinese. It immediately became clear why the three employees were cursing, even as they were placing Mrs. Hull's double on the examination table to examine it more closely. This was what they noticed original escaped. Mrs. Hull ran away through the ajar door and disappeared into the winding corridors of the catacombs. A little later, Sabia got into the examination room, discovered Mrs. Hull's digital twin on the examination table and therefore actually already knew too much. There was thus various reasons to get Sabia out of the way as quickly as possible.